You're asking a question about reading Shastra and getting the greatest benefit from reading Shastra. Sometimes people use the term Shastriya Sadhusanga. In other words, the term is Sadhusanga. There are five Panchanga Bhakti. Panchanga Bhakti means the five most important limbs of devotion. And any one of these limbs, says Rupa Goswami Pad and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, any one of these limbs or practices will give prema very quickly. One is associating with sadhus. One is hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. The third one is Nam Sankirtan. The fourth one is worshipping the deities. And the fifth one is living in a holy Dham of the Lord. Srinavadvip Dham, or Sri Vrindavan Dham, or Jagannath Puri Dham. It's called Panch. Five powerful limbs of devotion. So one, of course, is Sadhusanga. Actually, Sadhusanga is there within everything. We chant the holy name alone, that's powerful and beneficial. But if we chant with other sadhus, it's called Harinam Sankirtan. It's more beneficial. When we live in the Dham, it's very good. But living in the Dham means sadhusanga, associating with holy men there. In fact, it says if you go on a tirthyatra, you go to visit the holy Dham, but you don't hear from the saints that live there. You don't meet the saints. The Dham Vasis, the Dham Sadhus and Vaishnavas. You don't meet them, and don't hear from them, and don't serve them or surrender to them. And take their darshan, inquire from them submissively, and hear Hari Katha. Then your Dham Yatra, your pilgrimage to holy places, is considered to be not so fruitful. Beneficial, but not very fruitful. Everywhere, worshipping the deities. To worship the deities properly, we need sadhusanga, training, proper guidance. The sadhusanga is very, very important. That's why the first offense to the holy name is to offend the sadhus. Sadhuninda. There's 10 offenses to the holy name. First offense is sadhuninda. It doesn't say bhaktininda. Offend the devotees of the Lord. Says sadhu, to offend the sadhus, the saintly people, sadhuninda. So therefore, since that's the... And then, not only is there sadhuninda, the first offense, but then we have the third offense is guru avagya. So guru avagya means disregarding or offending the guru. So that's also... So two out of the 10 offenses, which means 1/5, 20%, 2 out of 10 offenses are dealing with sadhus. So sadhusanga is so important. So when we read, so there's different types of sadhusanga. The general meaning of sadhusanga means sakshad. Sakshat Sarusanga. Sakshat Sarusang. Jai Guru. So there's different types of Sarusanga. The general idea is Sakshat. Sakshat Sarusanga means direct, lifetime, real time. I see you, you see me. I see you, you see me. Prashna, you ask question, then you get answer. You fall at the feet of the sadhu. Pranipatena. Pranipatena means you lie at the feet of the sadhu. With a straw between your teeth. Dainya bhav, humility, submission. Hey Gurudev, O Gurudev, O Sadhu Thakur, O Vaishnav Thakur, O Param Vaishnav, I surrender to you. I beg for your mercy. Please instruct me, please enlighten me, please guide me on the path of bhakti bhajan. Now this is called sakshat, direct personal association. And then this term which you used, Shastriya Sarvasanga, I don't know, maybe it's there somewhere, but it's basically a combination of Sarvasanga, which is one of the five most important elements, and Bhagavat Shravan, hearing the Bhagavatam, which is another one of the five most important elements. Shastriya. So the Param Shastra is Bhagavatam. Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. Paramahamsa Samhitam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost of all of our Shastras. It's the paramount, supreme Shastra. The Shastriya Sarvasanga, in the best possible definition, would be to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam with an advanced devotee. That's why in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu by Vishnu Chakravartipad, he's commenting on these Panchanga Bhakti. And he says, Bhagavat Shravan Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga. He says, Bhagavat Shravan Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of the nectar of devotion, which we call nectar of devotion, by Sri Rupa Goswami Pad, when he's describing Panchanga Bhakti, he describes Bhagavat Shravan, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then in his Tika on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Sri Jiva Goswami Pad, he says, my elder brother, my uncle, Rupa Goswami Pad, is saying Bhagavat Shravan. But actually, he's asked me to write the commentaries. So what is actually in his heart, what he's wanting is that Dasama Skanda Bhagavat Shravan. That we should hear the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. The most important shastra is to hear the Bhagavatam. This is one of the most five important limbs of devotion. It doesn't say any shastra. It says Bhagavat Shravan. Mathura Vasastali. Mathura Vasastali, to live in Mathura Mandala, Vrindavan. Sadhu Sangha, associate with sadhus. Nam Kirtan, to chant the holy name. Shri Murti Shraddha-seva, to serve the Murti, the deity, with great faith, devotion, care and attention. And so these are the five limbs of Panchanga Bhakti. So he says Bhagavat Shravan, so we should hear the Bhagavatam. So when you say Shastriya Sarvasanga, that means to associate with sadhus that are speaking the Parama Shastra, which means the Srimad Bhagavatam. And of the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially according to Jiva Goswami, Shastriya Sarvasanga means associating with sadhus that are speaking the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Krishna's Leelas, especially in Vrindavan. That's one meaning of the word Shastriya Sarvasanga. That's related to Sakshat Sadhu Sangha. You directly associate with the sadhus, and then you hear Shastra from them. You learn Shastra. Now another meaning is that you read the Shastra. And by reading the Shastra, you get Sadhu Sangha. Well, how do you get Sadhu Sangha? You get Sadhu Sangha because the Shastras are compiled by Vyasadeva, literary incarnation of the Lord. So, as Krishna says in Gita, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, verse 20, Sarvasya cha hamriti sannivishto, vata smritir jnanam apavanam cha, Vedaish cha saveraham eva vedyo, Vedanta krit vedavid eva cham. Vedanta krit vedavid eva cham. Vedanta krit. He says, Krishna is telling, famous verse, 15th chapter, Purushottam Yoga Vibhag. Purushottam Yoga Vibhag, chapter 15, Yoga, the Supreme Person. Krishna says, from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedas, the Vedanta Sutra, and a knower of the Vedas as well. So this verse is referring to Srila Vyasadeva. Srila Vyasadeva compiled and wrote down all the Vedas, especially wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam as his commentary on the whole Vedanta Sutra, which he wrote previously. So therefore, when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we're associating with Srila Vyasadeva. Shastriya, Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarasanga, Srila Vyasadeva. So he Srila Vyasadeva Vacha, he wrote it, he spoke sometimes. I'm going to close that. Boy, that was exciting. Oh, I left that on. We're associating with Vyasadeva when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, and what to speak of Shukadeva Goswami, Sri Sukha Vacha, and Parikshit Maharaj is a great devotee king. And then in the second canto, Sutta Goswami asks questions. Shonaka Rishi and Sutta Goswami. And then sometimes Krishna is speaking to Uddhava in the 11th canto. Sometimes Narada Muni is speaking. Sometimes Prita Maharaj. Sometimes Krishna himself is speaking. Sometimes Brahmaji is speaking. Sometimes Lord Shiva is speaking. So all these are Mahajans. Either the voice, direct voice of the Lord himself, Uddhava Gita, is spoken by Sri Krishna. So when you read the Bhagavatam, not only do you associate with the greatest sadhus and Mahajans, in the 6th canto of Bhagavatam, it says there's Dwarasa Mahajans. Swayambhur Narada Shambhu Pralado Kapilo Manu. Kumara Kapila Kapila Baliyarvaya Sakirvayam Manu. Said there's 12 great teachers of devotion. Lord Shiva, Brahma, etc. And they're all present in the Srimad Bhagavatam. They're all teaching and speaking. So when you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, then you're associating Sarasanga, Shastriya Sarasanga. Water's coming. Can be sometimes. No. So when you read the Bhagavatam, you're associating all these sadhus. So that's so powerful. So then we should be in a humble mood. When, as I already told you, when you're having sakshat, shastriya, sarasanga, and sakshat. Shastriya, sakshat, sarasanga, direct association, then you have to go there with humility, dainya bhava, a straw between your teeth, and offer your obeisances and humbly inquire and serve. So that's the same way you have to approach the books, the Shastra, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Parama Shastra, the topmost Shastra. So from this example of approaching the Bhagavatam and getting the proper blessings and mercy and guidance and teachings and revelations from the sadhus therein, the Bhagavatam, it's the same approach that you have to the living sadhus. You approach the Bhagavatam or any Shastra with humility, which means you offer your obeisances to the Shastra before you read. And like when you go to the sadhus, you don't go empty-handed. You go with some fruits in your hand, or some flowers, or some agarbati, incense, or ghee, or whatever. So when you approach the Bhagavatam, you do Shastra Puja. Shastra Puja means you offer some flowers to the Bhagavatam, or a chandan, tulsi leaf of chandan, because the Bhagavatam is Krishna's sarup, Radha Krishna's sarup. They're both there, fully. Especially Krishna's sarup is described in the Puranas, that the 12 cantos of Bhagavatam represent the 12 parts of Krishna's body. The first and second canto are Krishna's feet and his legs. And then the third canto is his thighs, and fourth canto. And the tenth canto is his shining face, his smiling face. Tenth canto is his face, and the Ras Lila is his smile. And then the 11th canto is the crown, and the 12th canto is the peacock feather. So this is the, it's told in Padma Puran. The Bhagavatam is Krishna's sarup. Oh, upstairs, up. Let's see now. Okay, now. It's Krishna's sarup. So then, if you approach in a humble mood, offering seva, as I mentioned, you can do Shastra Puja, offer some flowers, or tulsi and chandan, or at least offer an incense sticks before you start. So it's the humble approach, it's humility, it's worship, it's puja, then it's praying, you pray to the Shastra, you offer prayers before you read the Shastra. Nashta Prayeshu Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavaditama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtaki Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tuto Jemodire. And then you read the Bhagavatam. So each Shastra has prayers for that, a prayer to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, prayer to the nectar devotion. And those prayers are in the very beginning of the book, you can see, in the Mangala Charana. Or in your own words, in your own language, you offer obeisances before you read, and then you offer a prayer. And you pray, oh Srimad Bhagavatam, oh Chaitanya Charitamrita, oh Vyasadeva, oh Shukadeva Goswami, oh Krishnas Kaviraj, you're the author, you're the compiler, and oh Vrindavan Das Thakur, oh Rupa Goswami, oh Sanatan Goswami, oh Raghunath Das Goswami, oh Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, oh Baladeva Vidyabhushan, you're all great devotees of the Lord, you're Kripa Shakti Murtis, you're the personification of kindness, mercy and love for the devotees. So I'm humbly approaching you and begging you for your mercy. Please enlighten me with your teachings. Please purify me with your wisdom. And please guide me and bless me so I can advance in the path of bhakti. I'm submitting to your lotus feet. I'm submitting to your book and your teachings. And I pray to you that these teachings will manifest in my heart and change the direction of my life so I can go very fastly on the path of bhakti and attain perfection of human life, loving service of Radha and Krishna that grows of Vrindavan. So this is how you take advantage or get the best benefit from reading Shastra, Shastriya Sarasanga. In the absence of Sakshat Sarasanga, we're living in Russia, we're living somewhere, there's no classes, and there's no higher class association, advanced devotees to associate with, then we can always read the books and associate with the sadhus with their words, with their bhava, with their feelings, with their vigyan, with their spurtis and anubhavas and all their different experiences that are contained in the shastra. We can experience them and take some advantage of them by humbly, properly approaching the shastra and dutifully studying and sincerely reading the shastras. We read with a desire to learn. We read shastra with a desire to learn. We learn with a desire to surrender. We surrender. We surrender with a desire to love. We love with a desire to serve. And we serve with a desire to live with Radha and Krishna eternally in the spiritual world. This is the right approach to the shastras.